Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:16 now on this Veterans Day. I rarely do this, but I had to turn the game off and go to bed in the third quarter because it was like watching somebody get chewed out at work. It was just embarrassing for everybody, and I didn't feel the need to be part of that. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How you doing?
I thought about a couple of movies as I was watching. First was Jaws. In that, for Governor Landry, I thought, we're going to need a bigger liver tiger than we have now. And the other thing is, when I saw Jalen Milroe running down the field, I swear to God, it looked like Forrest Gump in that movie. It looked like Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty at all. It really wasn't. And, you know, Jalen Milroe just, he had his way with LSU. I mean, the Tigers had no answer for it. And it was very disappointing. It was something that it was obviously the big concern. And I know LSU put together a game plan and they talked about it and they spent time for 2 weeks doing it. But I think, Tommy, it just comes down to the fact they don't have the players on defense to obviously stop a running quarterback. I mean, they can scheme it, they can game plan it, but the talent is just not there on the defensive side of the football. And on my last column for WWL.com, I picked Alabama to win this game. And obviously, I didn't expect it to be the margin that it was. I thought Alabama would win by a touchdown. I just thought in that second half of the Texas A&M game, some cracks in the foundation started to develop. Mm-hmm. And I thought Alabama can go into that game taking advantage of many of LSU's weaknesses, especially trying to stop the running quarterback. And Jalen Milroe is very, very good at it. Very good at it. And LSU just doesn't have the horses to try to stop someone like that is, you know, as big as him, as fast as him. And it was, I mean, LSU was – and then LSU just continues to hurt themselves as well. I mean, the turnovers are really difficult. And that was my other concern going into this game, Tommy. I didn't know you were hoping that, as an LSU fan, that Nussmeier would bounce back from that performance against Texas A&M in the second half. But I was concerned a little bit about that, in that, you know, this is a guy going through this for the first time as a first-time starter, how he would bounce back. Can he just flush it? And I don't know. I think he's certainly someone now that's probably lost some confidence here, and they got to try to get him back right and get him in the right mental frame.
Definitely lost confidence. You know, to lose is one thing. To be embarrassed like that is another. And you can look at the Jalen Milroe thing where, you know, okay, maybe Texas A&M, you didn't know, you weren't prepared for that, but you had 2 weeks to prepare for this, and you just couldn't stop it. I guess that being said, Alabama had 2 weeks to look at the Texas A&M film and learn from that, right?
Yeah, I think that was that's a little bit a part of it. I just think it just goes down to LSU at the line. But this was a game that they missed Harold Perkins. Mm-hmm. They missed a guy as a freakish athlete as he is, I think this was the game that they really, really missed him. I don't know if it would have made a difference in whether LSU would win the game or not, but there was just too many times that once Milroe got past the line of scrimmage. There wasn't a linebacker that could make a play on him. Certainly LSU safeties couldn't make a play on him, and that was really disappointing. And I mean, during the broadcast, in the fourth quarter, I think Kirk Herbstreit hit this point a lot. The talent is just simply not there. It's just not there for LSU at this point. And it's disappointing because it's year three, but a lot of the year three of the Brian Kelly era, and a lot of this, Tommy, goes back to decisions that were made when Brian Kelly was first hired as far as who he had as his coaching staff. And not retaining a guy like Corey Raymond to make sure that you can continue the pipeline of great defensive backs coming into LSU. And
let me pick it up right there
when Brian Kelly decided to do something to go with a different person as your defensive backs coach and not retaining him and not making Frank Wilson your recruiting coordinator right off the bat. And those are things, it's just amazing that decisions that were made 3 years ago are still, this team is still, this program is still trying to catch up on.
We're going to take a break, pick it up right there, and we come back talking to Jeff Palermo, some excellent points. 7:21, traffic now, WWL.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Palermo. WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director Tim Zimmer tells me that there is a scenario that LSU could be in the SEC championship game if they win out, if Georgia beats Tennessee, if South Carolina beats Missouri, and if Texas beats Texas A&M. Now, that to me is like a dog chasing a car. All right, you got it. What are you going to do with it? Tell me about LSU and Florida. With Florida coming up, I don't know anything about Florida's quarterback. Can he run?
Well, he's a third-string quarterback, Tommy, from Yale. He's a transfer from Yale.
So he's smart.
No, he's not. He's not Jalen Milroe. Can he run? No, this is a game that LSU should win. I was a little surprised looking at the point spread. I looked at it today. I think the Tigers are only favored by 4.5, 5.5 points, something like that. I mean, this is not a very good Florida team. I mean, they were uncompetitive. Well, heck, LSU was uncompetitive as well against Alabama, but Florida was the same way. This is a program that's got a lot of issues at this point. It appears that they're sticking with Billy Napier at least through the 2025 season. But this is a game. This is a get-right game, as they like to call it in football, or really in sports, when you're going through a tough time and now you're taking on an opponent that you should be able to beat. So this is an opportunity for the defense to get a little more to get back on track, for Garrett Nussmeier to get back on track, try to establish a running game, give the ball to Caden Durham a few more times this Saturday and see what happens so he can get a little bit more balanced on offense. Hopefully he can hit a big play with Chris Hilton. Just certain things that have been really lacking with this team. You got an opportunity to go into the swamp on Saturday afternoon and get those things accomplished.
Jeff, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this. It seems like when you talk about parity, especially with the big programs, the transfer portal, and if you look at the upsets that happen every weekend, I think, I guess you'd call them upsets, and the shakeups that go on among the top 10 teams, I think that's a result of the transfer portal and how you can get a lot better in a season, or maybe not so much. So what does Brian Kelly, he's in year three, and I'm looking at your story here of a what, how much contract, 10-year contract, how much is it, $100 million?
It's crazy money. Worth more than $100 million.
So how do you – I know you talked earlier about going back to the decisions that was made when he first came in. How does LSU catch up and try to turn this team around and get the talent that you're talking about that they don't have on defense right now?
Well, it's going to have to come through the transfer portal. They got a good recruiting class shaping up for 2025. It's going to be a top five recruiting class. But you also have to figure that it's going to take a couple of years for those guys to really become – I mean, there might be one or two guys out of that class that certainly make an impact on next year's team. But that class is not really going to really show, its strength or how well it is or how good it is until 2027, 2028. And LSU fans are not going to have that patience. So they're going to have to go big into the transfer portal. They're going to have to go in there and get about 7 or 10 players. And I'm talking about impact players. This past year, Tommy, in the offseason, they got about 4, right? I mean, Xavier Thomas is one of them. CJ Daniels is another one, but they didn't get Gio Paez is another one, but they didn't get a ton of, they're going to have to do better than that in the transfer portal this time around. They got to get about 7 or 10 players. I was watching the Ole Miss Georgia game, and Ole Miss looked so good on defense Saturday in Oxford against the Bulldogs. And a lot of these guys are transfer guys, transfer portal guys. And early on in the season, they weren't a unit yet. They weren't together just quite yet. But now they're playing like they should. And LSU's got to hit the transfer portal hard to try to turn this thing around quickly.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you again during the week. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Coming up, we'll take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, and what the economy could look like under the newly elected administration. 7:30, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, honoring our veterans on Veterans Day. Meg Ferris texted in. Thank you, Meg. Her dad, Dr. Charles Ferris Jr., World War II in the Navy, who delivered God knows how many babies in this city. And we also want to honor and thank Captain Mark Rosa, who joins us now, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. I got that right, Captain?
Yeah, yes, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, very good. Very good. I'm fine, and happy Veterans Day to you, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Tommy, and proudly, I just want to say my dad was career military that got me interested in enlisting, and he was from the 5th Special Forces Group, and he spent time in the 141st Field Artillery here in New Orleans. When I enlisted in the 141st Field Artillery here, went to officer school, and that's where I got my commission. My youngest brother, active duty Air Force, so we had a little bit of service in our family.
Well, outstanding. Thank all the Roses for that. Let's talk about Wall Street and after the election and how Wall Street's reacted, and I'm just going to turn it over to you, Mark.
Tell me, they're calling it the Trump trade. Okay, so right before the election, it seems like, okay, the markets start backing up, meaning going down as far as the Dow, because they anticipate what's going to happen on the other side. So when all of the anticipation was kind of getting over and we realized which direction it was going, the Dow promptly went up by 1,500 points. That was a record. Covered this a little bit last week, but it's worth repeating. So we have, since the election day, the Dow was up 2,000 points. That was the ending last week to a fresh record of 44,000. It was right at 42,000, and it finished right around 44,000. And this morning, pre-market, the Dow was up about another 192 at this moment, so 44,333 is where it would be if the market opened right now. And they're calling it the Trump trade. It was supported by, of course, the FOMC at the Fed met the next day and dropped interest rates by 25 basis points. That's a 75 basis point, 0.75% year-to-date action by the Fed. So the combination was very powerful. Those who picked the other side, they had some criers over the weekend. I was hearing from some analysts that said, well, we think the election's going to go the other way, and we're going to start shorting bank stocks, meaning that the bank stocks would be under pressure. They are crying in their soup this morning because they picked the wrong direction, and they're going to suffer some losses. The bank stocks rallied as the financial companies are expected to do well under the Trump presidency, and we were covering this about a week or so ago, energy, banks, and military related here on Veterans Day, was saying that those sectors are going to appreciate the most under that. That's what's being forecasted right now. We're seeing that the banks have already rallied. But Tommy, I mean, it's just been good news. Now, if somebody said, do you think that the market is kind of overextended and getting ahead of itself? Yeah, I could see that because we're focused on the good. You know, the Fed has done some things this fall that we were expecting them to do. But 75 basis points is a far cry from what was expected earlier in the year. They have pulled back. I mean, some people were expecting two or three percentage points action this year, and they're only on 75 basis points. So they have one more meeting before the end of the year. That's December. It's expected that they are going to drop interest rates yet again by 25. So we'll have a full point this year. But again, a far cry from two or three. And interestingly enough, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange is tracking the Fed movements and taking they're kind of predictors of what the Fed may do. It was going into 2025 with a slam dunk, definitely high percentage chances of more rate decisions, meaning more rate drops in January, going out to finish off the first quarter, more drops until March. All that's basically gone now. So it's like the economy is strong enough to stand on its own. I think the short-term rates in the market are still too high, speaking as a banker. I wish that would come down a bit to normalize the market. But I think some of this stuff is coming off so strong that it's on the news this morning that the Fed is worried. The Fed is worried about, well, you know, we do have some more work to do. We'd like to do it, but not if it's going to spark more inflation. And speaking of inflation, we have the CPI and PPI that's coming out this week for last month. Both are expected to be tame. Both are expecting a 0.2% increase on the consumer price index for October and the producer price index for October. So that would put both of those at a 2.4% annual rate. That would be nice if they were a little bit lower than that. But the PPI for September came in at zero. So we take those, you know, you get to string a couple of those results together, and inflation is definitely better than it was a couple of years ago. But like you and I had talked about last week, I mean, I'd love the prices to start going down. And to do that, we need some negative numbers that come out of CPI and PPI. I don't know if we'll get them.
All right, hang on. Let me pick it up here when we come back, because I also want to talk to you about what the interest rate cuts mean for housing, Wall Street, the economy, 401ks, inflation, all that jumbled up in one puzzle. How do you sort it out, and where do the Venn diagrams overlap and all of that stuff? Because you want things to be good, but as I understand, you want them to be so good that it causes inflation again. Mark Rosa is here, our guest, Captain Mark Rosa, military family, president and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street and what the market and what the economy is likely to be like with the new administration that was elected last Tuesday. 751 traffic now, WWL. 7:57 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Veterans Day. Captain Mark Rosa, a military family, is dad and brother, you said, Mark?
Yes.
Dad and brother served also. Yes. President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, talking about the economy and the new Trump administration. And how do you... are interest rates going to come down? Is that going to spur home building, home buying? How do you get people to enjoy the economy without inflation increasing, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask you.
Well, I guess that's a tightrope right now, Tom, because the forecast on interest rate decreases have lessened. So if anybody's interested, we had a tremendous amount of housing activity over the past couple of months as we got into the fall, because interest rates were expected to fall more than what they're expected to fall now. So a couple of people took advantage. We had a 5%-ish rate. It started with a 5 here in August, and then that backed up to 6% when some of that enthusiasm was coming out of the market. So, but I mean, for 6, if many people refinancing down from 8, so I would take that trade. You could look at Jefferson Financial, go and use the calculators free of charge, and you could see what the difference is, what your savings would be if you chose to refinance an existing loan. As far as the inflation, you know, Trump is saying that, you know, he wants to oust Jerome Powell from the Fed. He can't do that. He shouldn't have said something like that. That's why it's separate within the government, so they can evaluate the economy. That's what they do, and they could determine if rates need to go lower. But they don't want to bring them down and spark inflation again. That would, you know, would play this song all over again. So I think they need to be diligent about what they're doing, read the tea leaves properly as best they can. But the fact that the number of rate decreases have come out, you know, the expectation is maybe they are where they need to be, and they're going to lower in December and maybe stay away from it for a few months and see where the first quarter takes us. So interest rates and corporate earnings are good for stock prices. So we've got interest rates that are coming down in the down direction, at least. But 70% of them were still in earnings season. 70% of the companies that have reported, more to come out this week.
And I know you'll be watching it all for us, Mark. Thank you.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.